Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Go.
We're going to do this podcast. You're going to have to contain your excitement, all right?
I don't think I can.
Mike Phillips is going to be in the same city as you from next season, but keep a lid on it. Take this cushion.
Contain myself? No, contain my wife. We should all contain our wives.
Put that cushion on your lap and let's get on. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three. Pod. You are listening to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby by three guys who love rugby but don't take it or ourselves too seriously. I'm Tim. That's JB.
Hello, Tim.
That's Phil.
Hi, Tim.
This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, which you are probably listening to on iTunes or on Acast. You can find us on Twitter, ranting and raving through the week at Rugby Podcast. Some reviews that have been left, and this is what I'd say, right? If you enjoy the podcast, and I just want you to bear in mind, we are officially the number one rugby podcast in the UK. You look at iTunes top 10 of rugby. When you search the word rugby, you look at the iTunes top 10 of the last week. We are number one, we are number three, and we're number five.
Wow.
People are listening to our old episodes as well. So we are the premier rugby pod in the UK, and we're doing this in JB's basement that we call the Rugby Dungeon. We are testing the patience of our wives. We're neglecting our families. And all because we love rugby that much. So thank you for listening. And if you enjoy the podcast, just take one moment to leave a review on iTunes, like Shelts71 has done, who left the title Foie Gras, Not Pate.
Yes.
A reference to an earlier pod saying, as familiar and comforting as a Jamie Roberts 3 metre gain. Literally the best thing on iTunes. Thank you very much, Shelts. Matt, who sits on a train, said, gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling on his way back to work. That same warm, fuzzy feeling that JB gets every time he thinks about living in the same city as Mike Phillips.
That's right. exactly right.
After the new Sail Sharks are, and we're going to have to get a bit of music for this, bringing sexy back.
Yes.
We're going to have to get that for future pods.
He's going to love it here. He's going to absolutely love it.
U-Bend says, better than boobs.
Ooh.
Which is, I'd say there's a big compliment considering that Matthew Bastereau had his out in the changing room after a game that was photographed. Did you see that picture of Bastereau?
I didn't actually.
It was his bottom that was really on show.
Wow.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian would have been proud. yeah. And Simon Collins says, without doubt, the Miles Benjamin of podcasts, comfortably the best rugby podcast around. We very much appreciate you listening and thank you very much for it. We're going to dive straight in then. We've got so much to talk about. Some of the summer prospects who could be going away on tour after Eddie Jones dropped a bombshell that he might have to ditch some of his players because they're not up to scratch. We're going to be talking about the upcoming European semi-finals. We're going to be talking Pro 12. We're going to be talking Aviva Premiership. And the comings and goings of various players. And I've realised I've just been talking the whole time now, so let's get into it and let's start with some rugby.
Let's do it. Which game would anyone like to discuss?
Well, let's start the one where there was most on the line that was today's game, London Irish against Newcastle.
I guess it was more on the line there. I was going to go with Leicester Northampton. Let's go with London
Irish. There was a lot on the line there.
Yeah. But, let's go with London Irish.
But I mean, nothing has been decided this weekend, but pretty much it has been. London Irish are as good as relegated, I think.
Not mathematically. But
they just need to beat Saracens, Northampton, and
they got two
Exeter
games
in the last three.
Two games left, and they're 7 points adrift. I think.
I think we should point out there was a lot of tension on display, but not a lot of skill. It was a very poor game, as was Gloucester Exeter. Really, in fact, quite a lot of the games in the Aviva Premiership. For all the stick JB you like to give the Pro 12, the Aviva Premiership served up some pretty poor rugby in terms of the televised games.
Not the ones I watched. I'm going to say I really enjoyed the Leicester game. I thought it was very, very exciting.
It was exciting, but it wasn't the best rugby. There were some patches where it was very good. The Thacker try, for example, and some of the play. But Leicester gave away a huge number of penalties.
They did.
Also
but they're mostly at the scrum. To be fair, I mean, we'll come to Dan Cole later. And also, the Saracens game I thought was really good.
It's
really good.
Not the highest standard. Mm. Like, you compare that to the Wasps Worcester game, which we'll come on to later, and it felt like a much closer, much tighter game. Again, driven by the fact that Harlequins didn't seem to want to play rugby. They seemed to want to kick everything and use their set piece, which was... they seemed to get on top of that battle, but it was rather unusual for Quins to take Saracens on up front.
Yeah.
Well, having said that, you've got to remember that Quins are one of the few teams that know how to beat a full-strength Saracens team and have done so before.
The only one this year?
They've lost since, haven't they?
They've lost a few times since, yeah. But yeah. Not full strength.
Yes, agreed. So, I would say, because they've got the know-how, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
In terms of the quality of rugby, London Irish played fantastic rugby within 95 metres of the field.
Do you know what?
The final 5 metres, they can't play rugby.
There was one two-on-one, the Tikaratuma. Which wasn't even a two-on-one, really. It was a one-on-one. That it was him versus Delaney 5 yards out.
Yeah.
And he should have gone for the corner. I can't believe he threw that speculative pass when you're an international calibre winger.
I know. And I just
Tikaratuma. I'm pretty sure we've established Tikaratuma is not an international calibre
well,
winger.
Well, I think that maybe
he is an international winger.
That maybe
yes, okay.
Maybe that indicates an element that there isn't enough people. I saw maybe one or two players taking responsibility, but not enough London Irish players taking responsibility, grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck. David Pace, one notable exception. But I look at Blair Cowan, has been absolutely outstanding in previous seasons. What has happened to him?
I don't know, but on his form, he couldn't turn over a pancake. He was awful in the tight, and his carrying was getting smashed backwards by everyone,
knocking on all over the place.
Yeah,
and it was him that dropped the pass away at Worcester.
Yeah,
he was one of the bright spots for London Irish the last couple of years, and when guys like that go really that far off the boil, then
and also I think maybe it's a case of players pushing themselves a little bit too hard. I mean, with Cowan, I think it's almost a case of he's trying too many things. If you're around a breakdown and think, oh God, I've got to get my hands on that ball, I've got to make the steal, and you just push the line a little bit too far, you can go from a very good player
He wasn't giving away penalties. He was just weak in the contact, weak defensively, weak carrying the ball, weak at the breakdown.
Well,
his work rate wasn't great.
Matthew Bailey, I think maybe it was a bit harsh, but he tweeted us to @rugbypodcast and said, Blair Cowan will struggle to find a Premiership team next year if that's what he wants to do. And he has said he won't stick around with them. I imagine he'll go to a Scottish...
It makes sense.
Scottish side. Anyway, he said he'll struggle to find a Premiership team next year. He has the work rate of a retired darts player. the opinion of Matthew Bailey, not us necessarily.
Wow.
Yeah, but when guys like that who should be leading the line, when they're not performing, I do think the majority of that London Irish backline played pretty well. I thought Femby and Lewington looked good. Maitland always works hard. Always looks good.
Example.
Always looks good.
I think Maitland's a great example of what's going wrong, which is he just makes the wrong options. He's so talented.
Yeah. Well, he's actually been like the creator of the and then Geraghty 5 yards out, just hold the ball, don't try and give a miracle pass. I felt really sorry for London Irish fans. They've never ever been relegated. More than likely they will be.
I don't think they will,
and I think
as finished bottom, but I think
usually, and I can quite understand that this is the case, and I'm not defending Tom Coventry, but usually the coach or director of rugby or whatever carries the responsibility, and they probably want that on their shoulders and all the rest of it. That comes with the job. However, hold one of those two-on-ones against Worcester, hold one of those passes against Newcastle, and you're safe. And you can't really blame a coach for those errors.
Well,
can you? I don't know.
Yeah, I think
finishing those, that should be bread and butter. Finishing those two-on-ones, I'd no idea how much they do in training, but however much they're doing, it doesn't look like enough, because there's three prime examples there where they've simply not finished it.
But that says to me there's a mental element going on. It's not that they don't have the skills to do it.
I completely agree with that.
I think it is a confidence thing, given the results.
Mm. So, yeah, London Irish going to Moseley and Ealing Trailfinders and Jersey next year.
They'll be staying up.
I think Richmond have just been promoted into the Championship now.
Wow.
Nice.
Back into the Championship.
That'll be a good derby match.
Yeah.
Leicester, however, well, they won that fierce East Midlands rivalry.
They are going to be a handful for whoever has them in the playoffs.
But it's looking likely that they'll finish fourth, so they would travel to Saracens.
I don't care who gets them. I think they're going to be a real difficult team to play against.
Mm. Oh, the firepower in that back line.
I mean, why? Answer me this. What value does an academy possibly offer when you can just get reserve Super Rugby players, throw them into the back line and just watch them flourish into something incredible?
What the academy serves is, Alex Lewington playing for London Irish. They're really happy for the Leicester Academy.
Harry Thacker is what Leicester Academy can produce, and Ben Youngs. And
yeah, I say it facetiously, of course, but the Leicester Scouting Department, I give all the credit in the world to Saracen Scouting Department, because they get lads who weren't renowned when they first arrived, and they turned them into world beaters. Petrus Duplessis.
Chris Wiles.
Yeah.
Duncan Taylor. When did Duncan Taylor become a world-class centre?
Jacques Berger.
Yep. Yeah, there's all these people.
All of them.
Now, I was very critical at the start of the season of some of their signings, but Toulouse Viana, Beetham's been quality. That back row, a back row of nobodies.
Yeah.
McCaffrey.
Fitzgerald. Williams. If their pack can do enough to give that back line a platform, because Freddie Burns is playing really well, the centre combination of Tuolagi and Beetham is arguably the form centre partnership in the Premiership, and then Toulouse of Vianu and Gonniver on the wings.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, the firepower there is incredible.
Yeah, Tate's coming back into form.
Gonniver's going to be going from Leicester to Newcastle, but it did strike me when I was watching Newcastle today, George McGuigan. What is the point of him going from Newcastle to be third choice at Leicester? Because he's going to be behind Tom Youngs and he's going to be behind Harry Thacker.
Well, when he signed, Harry Thacker hadn't played as much as he had now has done.
Yeah.
But you're quite right.
I think you're wrong, actually. I think the first choice is going to be Tom Youngs because of his size. And I think it's very hard for them to go from Tom Youngs to Harry Thacker because they're fundamentally different players. And Harry Thacker, you've got to pick in a certain situation.
Yeah, it's like having Jamie George and Shark Brits.
No, it's not. Actually.
It's like Brits and Thacker. No, like he is the closest we've got to Shout Brits.
Shout Brits is a professional size athlete, whereas Harry Thacker is
what? He's got bigger, and he's probably bigger than Brits, I would say.
No, Thacker is the same size as Phil.
Thacker's height and weight.
They actually share the same statistics.
I know, but that might be like last year. That might, you know,
possibly.
He could have had the same number of height and weight measurements as Andy Goode had when he was at Leicester.
he might have got Phil stacked, but he's basically Phil's
he's
height
ripped.
And weight.
He's absolutely so ripped.
anyway, my point being is that I think that the new guy coming in will get more game time because if he's a bigger lad, he can interchange with Youngs when he invariably has his terrible games. You'll still play Thacker when you think Thacker can add. So I don't think it's...
Well, it has been mentioned that they might consider using Thacker at open side in the same way that Harlequins have used Dave Ward. That has been put forward. So that is possibly an option.
Well, Sale are doing that with... the guy will probably play hooker, Callum Neild, will probably play hooker next year. He's been playing six for them. I think it's a good little jump we can do because Harry Thacker showed unbelievable gas and footwork to get into the space. The footwork, the fend, the gas.
And the coolness of the finish to dummy and go.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Which, if London Irish, if you're watching, that's how you finish a 2-on-1.
Damn right.
He did use the rock quite cleverly, though. It's almost like a blocker. And I quite like that.
Oh, but the little,
it's quite cunning, isn't
the
it?
The little jinky step. It was
class. Don't take anything away.
It was real athleticism in every sense. The footwork, the strength to
fend. What was he described as? A little dumper truck?
Little dumper truck,
Harry Thacker.
Nice one. Nick Mullinsism. So we've got Harry Thacker there, and on the other side of the planet, Liam Gill was just casually knocking over a drop goal. Just for the Reds. Just so casual the way he did it.
I missed this, actually. I have no idea what happened.
And cool as a cucumber, just struts back like nothing happened.
Like nothing happened. Oh, yeah, another one.
Like when, what's the most famous drop goal? Matt Dunning knocked one over.
Oh, yes.
Not quite like that.
No.
He was panicking because... His team needed 7 points in those 2 minutes on the clock.
Let's come up with a back line of forwards inspired by the drop kicking skills of Liam Gill, Harry Thacker's footwork and gas. A back line of forwards.
So do you want to put those two at 9 and 10? because Thacker, he picked up from the base of the scrum. It was like a Danny Kerr style.
It was like I was
finish.
I've got Harry Thacker as my nine,
and then Liam Gill at 10.
Well, no, but I've actually gone 10. I want like a Rolls Royce of a player, so someone who can kick, pass, offload, threaten the line, just absolute utter class.
If you're going to go with
distribution skills,
Sergio Parisi, no.
Juan Martin Fernandez Robe.
Yes.
Oh, nice, well, very nice.
Because his distribution skills are just he could throw a miss four or a little take it up to the line and offload to his inside centre.
Well, I like a guy to set the target, set the platform for the forwards to get around. So my 12 is Avion Lewis Roberts.
Centres.
Well, I've gone for someone who has actually played an international game.
Oh, you're saying Hoops.
He not played a full game. He covered
against the Lions.
Was it Lions or was it
England at Twickenham?
I thought it was England.
Oh,
yeah.
No, it was Lions. Definitely that.
I think he might have done it more than once. Actually, he definitely played at Twickenham at 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going for Hoops at 12, with Kieran Reid at 13.
Nice.
That's perfect. Nice.
Because he uses that. He so frequently pops up in that 13 channel.
What Aaron Nordicke? Because he's a very nice operator in the 13.
Yeah,
he
is. And I did put Sergio down as my 12, but I think Sergio and Kieran Reid is sort of, you got two of the same thing.
Route one.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're so good, both of them.
Yeah. I had Parise and Jack Clifford is my 13 because he's got real pace, and I can imagine him gassing on the outside.
Okay, so wings, but Gaskell.
Interesting, yeah.
Rapid.
Yeah.
And also, everyone loves a big winger, right?
Which is why I put PSBs down. Because even though... all he has to do is catch.
So I was excluding...
Well, we say this, but it's been a problem throughout his career.
So I actually excluded PSBs because he has actually started games for the Bulls on the wing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Legitimately.
Fair enough.
So I've excluded PSBs, yeah. Radiki Samo, Sam Burgess, Epitione and Mauro Bergamasco, because they have all started. They have all started games in both the backs
I'm
and the forwards.
I'm getting written down as a nine, just my joke nine. I put Don Armand as a potential winger of that game at Exeter where he showed unbelievable gas. Who did he catch up again?
Topsy Ojo.
He caught Topsy Ojo.
With another 5 yards, he would have stopped Topsy Ojo from scoring.
Is there room anywhere for the Argentine hooker,
Creevy?
Creevy.
I mean, they call him Sunnyvale Creevy.
Because of his offloading game.
There's got to be some role for him, right?
The other winger, I didn't really know, have one. I just put like Tom Croft or Ryan Kankowski.
Or Gaskell.
Is he Ulsterbound Kankowski?
He was at one stage. They got it wrong, so it wasn't Kankowski, it was Marcel Coetzee.
Who's 9 months out, ACL.
Ruptures cruciate. Yeah.
So go back and get Kankowski.
Yes, please. That would be nice.
That'd be nice. Fullback, I bet we've gone for the same one.
Well, I know who I've gone for. I'm not messing about it. It's tried and tested.
Yeah.
Scott Britt.
Exactly.
Now, the only other one I'd like to see in there, and he could go on the wing, he could possibly go in the centre, is Justin Tipperick. Because he frequently plays in the centre. His hands are very, very good. Mm. And he's got a good turn of pace.
Gatland did a very Gatlandy thing when he said, asked to comment on Tipperick. He said, yeah, he does well in those Y channels. And I kind of the backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Like, your card's marked, son.
Not doing the grunt work up front.
Exactly.
So you can tell us if we missed anyone or what your lineup of forwards in a back line would be at Rugby Podcast. Tweet us and we could mention you next time.
And maybe we could do a backs in the forward, backs in the pack.
Oh,
in a couple of weeks' time.
That'd be interesting. Now, we should mention, because we did a Bird 15 last week inspired by Ulster's signing.
Brett Heron.
Mm-hmm. And we were saying, we've got a gap at back row. Really got a gap at back row. Could help us out. And we asked for tweet. And so many people went, and I can't believe it when I saw the first tweet come in. So many people went, how did you possibly miss a back row player with a Bird-like name? Richie McCaw.
I know.
So many people tweeted that one.
And Michael Hooper.
Oh, yeah.
McCaw we should have got. Yeah. Really.
I tell you, let's hop across to Pro 12 briefly. We'll come back and return chat more Premiership and stuff. But we've had quite a lot of contact this last week. Darrow Ruddy being one of them said, Connacht's first double ever over Munster comes with a bonus point. 2 points between the top three in Pro 12. Is that competitive enough for you? That was a question for you, JB.
I don't really know. Okay, so I was trying to say, just because they haven't separated, because there's not a runaway leader, they should be showered with praise. Well, you're not going to be.
Not from JB. Like, let's just be clear. JB, because we have quite a lot of, we have a lot of Pro 12 listeners. You look at where people listen. So I just want you, for the record, I want it to state, Phil and I, Phil supports Ulster, and I very, very respectful of the Pro 12.
And I
enjoy it.
Okay, yeah, and
JB much less so, and that's fine. Yeah,
and I'm
anyway.
Very honest about the Pro 12. Now, I will say this. I mean, I'm truly inspired, actually, by the Connacht performance this season. To the point that I'm on the verge of buying a Connacht top. I'm hugely, hugely impressed. I don't want to take anything away from him, but I feel that I might now. But it kind of almost shows me that the Pro 12, you know, the other teams aren't taking it that seriously, or if they are, like, you know, Munster didn't play well. They lost a ton of internationals, which would probably account for why they're so low down in the league. Same with Leinster. The Welsh teams are a bit of a joke, except for the couple of games when they play each other.
What's different there with the Aviva Premiership?
Well,
it's just, other than there's only four teams, or three teams, or two teams,
You've also got the case of the Italian teams too. However, on the whole, it is getting better year on year. Attendances are going up year on year. The standard of the squads are going up year on year. I don't like, however, the way that the Irish Union have allowed players to leave Connacht and gone to other provinces. I think that's a complete and utter joke.
Yeah, players have to be able to decide their own future as well.
Well, you look at someone like McGuigan from Newcastle going to Leicester. Mm-hmm. It's happened with Kieran Brooks. It happens with other players.
But they're not centrally contracted.
I suppose in England,
you know?
I suppose that is different.
And the Irish have been very good in the past at making sure they distribute the talent nice and evenly. And now they've got this.
Where would you rather live?
Beautiful
on the West Coast, absolutely stunning. But
West Coast of France?
If you were a young athlete.
Yeah. No, I take that point completely, to be fair. I would just say that if you've got this fourth province now and they're doing extremely well, why take the soul out of them?
Yeah, that is a bit of an issue.
And that's why I say Connacht are the only true team in the Pro 12.
In terms of rugby, what a fantastic win for them. And the heart and the spirit in the performance they show.
The defence for long periods, particularly in that second half where Munster were banging on the door, and then to break out and the Dylan break, which set up, I can't remember who scored that try. But some of the other tries, the Nigerian winger, he got a couple of tries. He was class. Everyone on that team played with so much heart.
They are cool, aren't they?
Bundiaki was sensational.
They're like good.
They're like a bunch of mercenaries, but in a good way. Like, they've all a band of brothers come together.
Yeah.
Kind of a barbarian style and atmosphere, except they've actually been able to train together, play together, and they've developed a real unity. I think they're brilliant. I think they're absolutely brilliant.
SOB 2, Sean O'Brien Mark 2. They've got a back row called Sean O'Brien, who looks awesome as well, a young Irish lad.
Well, next year they're going to be missing, unless he's already gone, Henshaw and, of course, McGinty,
yeah.
And that's just the start of it. God knows who else will go.
Is Dylan going?
He looks such a prospect. I will put it down on record. About 8 weeks ago, I said he's my bolter, real outside shout for a Lions berth next year.
Interesting.
Which is like, I don't. It's a bolter. It's a real outside.
Stretch for a Lions, but he's playing very, very well at the moment. So there was that game.
Yeah.
I take it neither of you saw the Ulster game.
No, I didn't see the Ulster game.
Did you win?
Tremendous performance. The return of a hero. No, who did it? Edinburgh lost narrowly to Leinster. Hmm. The return of a hero for Ulster in Tommy Bow. On his return from injury, scored two tries.
That would be the equivalent for you, isn't it? Like JB's got Mike Phillips coming to Manchester. If you heard Tommy Bowe had signed for Sale Sharks, that would be like that for you, wouldn't it?
It'd be very exciting for me.
Women, watch out. My word.
lock up your daughters, wives, girlfriends, yes. mothers, grandmothers, anyone.
He likes a challenge, I'm sure.
So, yeah, it's good performance, Ulster. 47-17 win away to Zebre.
Wow. A worthwhile trip.
I'd love to do that one year.
Yeah,
to
maybe.
Go and watch that. Should we talk about the Leinster-Edinburgh game, specifically the incident?
Oh, McFadden. In fact, shall we go through all the controversies now?
Right, OK. Yes, so there was one very contentious moment in the Edinburgh-Leinster game. A tackle by McFadden. Fergus McFadden.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about that, but I think we should broaden it and make it, you know, not just about an individual point, but try and broaden it. Because there was a couple of other decisions across the weekend that I think link in with this.
Okay.
The Tuilagi and the Noel.
Manu Tuilagi.
Right.
Getting penalised for playing rugby. And Jack Noel getting a yellow card.
Okay.
For playing rugby.
Yes.
So now, I've pretty much stuck my colours to the mast on where I stand on them.
Well, it's interesting because I think all three decisions were incorrect. All three of them. And I think they were all correct for the same reason. But... Well, the very broad reason.
Let's go with the least egregious, which is Tuilagi.
Tuilagi.
Yes. It was a penalty. Looking at it, it could be a penalty. It might not be a penalty. He came off his feet. Does he need to put him down safely? Perhaps. He didn't
so if anyone didn't see it, it's some of these which is happening. And it kind of links in with what I've been saying all along, this whole applying the letter of the law.
And isn't this what I've been saying to be fair?
Yeah, I have said in recent weeks, I feel... like I'm the JB out of the three of us.
It's okay, I have most of the original ideas. It's okay.
So it's the application of the letter of the law rather than actually having a bit of empathy for what is going on in the game and for what players are trying to do and for just the empathy for the game. So I think Manu Tuilagi's one was a perfect example of that because it was clearly there was clearly no foul play. But at one point, the guy's feet were above his waist.
Yeah. Well, I think... The way I look at it now is, it used to be a case of if the referee didn't see it, you carried on and that was it. Now the law, I believe, has been applied far more consistently than it ever has been. Now, whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, that's one thing. But the one thing I always ask is for consistency, which is why the utter outrage when Jared Payne got redded, because that to me was like the start of this new era of letter of the law. But now you know where you stand, you know what not to do.
But I hate that.
Just on the Manu thing, I actually don't think the letter of the law was applied.
Go on.
Because the law is you cannot lift a player from the ground and drop or drive that player into the ground whilst the player's feet are still off the ground.
Okay.
I don't think Manu lifted him. I think the force of the contact meant his feet came off the ground, but there was no lifting. I actually think that was a fair tackle and it shouldn't have been a penalty.
Completely agree.
That said, I don't have a huge issue with the penalty because there was no effect on the material outcome of the game.
But it's part of the mission creep of these... It just getting diluted and diluted. What you get a penalty for, what you get a yellow card for, what you get a red card for.
Yes, yes. Okay. It feels like it's always been rolled back.
So the Noel incident, Gloucester versus Exeter Friday night... Ben Thornley, 18-year-old, making his debut, scores on debut. Great debut for him. He takes the ball into contact to Noel, who stops him. Thornley then looks to be working his way to ground. All he's looking like, he's working his way to ground. Noel has hold of his leg as he goes to ground, so he hits his shoulders first and then rolls onto the floor and places the ball back. Ref blows up, reviews it, yellow card given. Now, Tim, I can see you shaking your head for that. I'm also shaking my head because, again, I think the law has been applied inconsistently.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that, the letter of the law is lifting the player. Jack Noel does not lift the player. Jack Noel has hold of the player. The player goes to ground. There is no lifting there. It should not, in my opinion, be a penalty.
All the refs are actually looking at, was that beyond the horizontal? Because the body lands flat, but it just so happens that Thornley... sort of voluntarily shoved his feet in the air.
Well, he wants to get to ground.
He wants to get to ground,
so his feet ended up going in the air. But just because your feet end up above your waist at some point doesn't mean the player has either lifted you or driven you down, or that it was a dangerous tackle. It just really...
Yeah.
He always tries to command the roll out of it. I mean, I've actually done this to a player in training, and I've got them, and all they want to do is get to ground to form the ruck to recycle the ball.
Yes. Now, this isn't... For me, it's not to do with the empathy or anything like that. This is... an example of the opposite happening. So this is not letter of the law. This is inconsistent application of the law that I have a problem with on both of these.
Not so much Tuolangi, but this is 100% inconsistent.
It's incorrect application which is causing inconsistency. Mm. On both of those for me.
Both of those really upset me. I'm probably in the minority on the final one, but I also thought Fergus McFadden was just trying to play rugby when he tackled...
Oh, well, he was trying to play rugby. He was trying to play rugby. I've got no problem with that.
I don't know what he was trying to do. It looked like he was doing an impression of Goldberg from WCW.
No, it did. No, no,
Tim,
no.
You're mental. Even I, the guardian of letting the boys play, believe that this was... Was it a red card?
No, only a penalty was given.
What?
I'm totally game on for that.
Can you talk me through your logic to get to that point?
Absolutely. Regardless of what you think of the decision, I found it really upsetting to be a rugby fan looking at the way that other rugby fans, and I know it's Twitter, the way that other rugby fans were talking about it, because you would think this guy had just snuck into their house and had it off with your daughter under their roof or something. The way people were talking, it was like, it's just a game of rugby for a start. But so my thinking is, so if you haven't seen the incident, you should. It's a humongous hit.
It would make
a Christmas DVD biggest hits of the year of a compilation without a doubt. It'd probably be number one. Fergus McFadden is the last man in defence. Edinburgh winger, forget the guy's name, Hoyland. That's it. Hoyland runs at him. First thing, people saying, oh, he didn't use any arms. He made a massive hit. His arms were reaching out in front of him. But when you make collisions that huge, it's really hard to physically actually grab hold of a piece of a skin-tight shirt on someone's back.
So did he wrap the arms?
He reached and wrapped, but he didn't grab hold of shirt.
I don't think he did grab...
The second thing is people said it was high. It was like collarbone height. But... he was crouching right down. His back was flat, low down, like an aeroplane landing, like you're supposed to do.
Okay.
And, like, Hoyland was crouched down so low that McFadden's contact was at collarbone level. If he'd have made contact with his head, Hoyland wouldn't have bounced straight back up and carried on running.
Right, well, just one point, Tim, I think that's the weakest part of your argument, because based on that logic, if he hit him in the head, he wouldn't have bounced up. Then Manu Tuilagi never punched Chris Ashton in the head. You can rescind his red card.
Yeah.
His 5-week ban was wrong. I think that is nonsense.
No punch. Ashton
exactly.
was...
Yeah,
so fair enough.
Just
fair
on
enough.
That. The bits about rugby I really dislike is when they go, right, run that in slow motion, and then people go, ooh.
Which is exactly what happened.
Well, I've seen it. First time I saw it was going down to Dungeon. Phil showed it to me, and then, oh, red card. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, God.
Now, he shouldn't be on the field, whether it be a card or because his coach brings him off because he's knocked himself out. No, he can either come off the field for red card for missing the tackle as the last man, because as a fullback, look at Lee Halfpenny, wrap around the legs, get him down, or third, medically, because he's now concussed. So that man, no matter which way you look at it, he's got three avenues off the field, and somehow he managed to stay on.
My take on it is not a wrapped arm, it's actually a swinging arm, is my interpretation.
Oh, my word.
And the contact, so the letter of the law, McFadden's shoulder makes contact with Hoyland's chin.
It's not his chin.
That is a red card.
Do you know what? I get this. Have you heard of the phrase crossing the Rubicon?
Yes.
It's a river, and once these two forces were kind of... I can't remember what countries. Once you crossed it, it was an act of war, and you can't uncross it. I say you can't go back.
No, we can't go back from pain. Pain was a Rubicon.
It's now acceptable to appeal to assistant referees. I was watching London Irish players, Jeb Sinclair, who I think is a great bloke, and we've had him on the podcast, him and other flankers all the time.
Harry Mallander.
Whenever a scrum goes down, what does the blindside flanker do? Stands up, puts his arms out, and starts talking to the assistant referee. That's now acceptable. Yeah, Mallander.
Yeah, Harry Mallander was petulant.
So I think we can all agree Fergus McFadden is responsible for all of this.
So there was a story this week about, did you see the story about the woman trying to call her child cyanide? A woman from Powys in South Wales.
Obviously. I actually could have guessed that.
Woman from South Wales. She probably has some issues, clearly. She wanted to call her child cyanide. A judge ruled that she can't do that.
I've heard of this happening before.
Okay.
For offensive names.
Yeah.
this was a landmark case because it was the first time a non-offensive, in inverted commas, name, someone legislated that you can't call your child that. And you can't go back from that. And that will creep, and judges will come and rule and say, oh, no, that name's... But, actually, I think that name's not acceptable. And all I'm saying is rugby has 150-odd years, or however long it is, of people playing the game, giving blood, sweat and tears to rugby... And handing the game to us, and how do we want to pass it on? And the fact that we've sat here and we're fans and we've used the phrase letter of the law.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Or I've heard you guys use the phrase letter of the law loads of times in that conversation. You know, like, it just bugs me about how we're handing rugby on.
My problem with all of this is all three of those are examples where the letter of the law has not been applied, which has created inconsistency.
I think what will happen is 10 years' time, everyone will go, do you remember that podcast where Tim lost it? Tim but actually lost it.
Now, just one thing I want to go back to, something you mentioned on Twitter, was going like football. And I completely see the appealing to referees and appealing to touch judges. That has to stop. But in my mind, that only occurs when you get inconsistent application of the law. If you know that the referee is going to make the correct decision and you're going to be spotted. So your analogy in football, where do you get the football application of the law, letter of the law?
Do you remember, like, you watch old 1970s video film of football. Do you remember when defenders could tackle?
No, I don't.
Well, they could. Yeah. So defenders used to be able to tackle. Now, if you tackle a player, like actually, like go in with a tackle, you get a yellow card or a red card. Defenders don't tackle anymore. They used to give crunching hits, and that was part of the game.
I mean, we touched on it last week as well. There is this element, isn't there? Depending on how you want your team to behave, like if you want a team that just mans up, gets up, bunch of leaders every time you get punched, you ignore it, you carry on the game, you let the refs ref and you play, that's something which you instill as an overall team. There is a point though where you say the stakes here are too high and we need to win this scrum or milk the penalties from these scrums because now it's a multi-million pound sport, and it is a shame. And
but if you know the correct decision is going to be made every single time, then that won't happen.
No, I fundamentally dislike...
Is it the petulance?
Dislike the line of where Phil's point goes, which is actually if we just have consistent, accurate officiating, then we will have no appealing and stuff. That's like, no, if a referee gets it wrong, you shut up, you get back 10 metres, and you do what rugby players have done for 150 years. If you start saying, well, the officiating was wrong, you're accepting that players have got a reason to appeal. No.
It's two different mindsets. Yeah. It's two very different mindsets. Okay. And if I was a referee, I would crack down immediately. Harry Mallander appeals to the touch judge, penalty against him, or free kick against him, immediately. So I would 100% stop that. But I also want the correct decision to come to every time.
I think the problem you have, Tim, is the petulance. And I'm 100% with you there.
Yeah, we are all completely agreed on that.
But maybe to bring this round, there's just one, about 30 seconds of Nigel Owens here doing an interview for...
Has he been very Nigel Owens-y?
World Rugby.
I hope so.
Have a listen.
The law book is there to design that two teams in a very physical contact sport, with massive hits going in sometimes, are able to play that game in the most safe environment that we can possibly give them. And then you need to have the feel for the game as well, which is just as important as the law book, because if you don't have a feel for the game, you're not going to get a game of rugby. The easy job of refereeing is learning the laws of the game and going out there and blowing the whistle.
What you're saying there is he's good because he understands the game.
What's Eddie Jones said?
Well, effectively, what he said is, of the Grand Slam winning team, they've gone back to their clubs and they've got a little bit complacent. And apparently, straight after the Grand Slam, he said, you're not all coming on the plane. You've got to go back and play well. And this week, he's reinforced that point of view. So I thought it'd be very good fun to unpick who is playing well, who isn't playing well, and who you would leave at home.
Firstly, I love the fact that this is on the table.
I love it. It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Finally, a real manager in charge of England, director of rugby, whatever he is. I just love how he operates.
Yeah.
I can see why it might upset people, but
This goes back to something he said very early on when he picked his very first England squad, and someone from the press asked him, do you feel any pressure on the players you've not selected, like Danny Cipriani? And he just bluntly said, pressure on me? Like, why would there be pressure on me? The pressure is on the players. If they've not been selected, they've not done enough to be selected.
Yep.
It's up to them to change it. And that's a really good way of handling it. And it's interesting that he said very similar thing now, that the pressure remains on the players. They won't be resting on their laurels.
I wonder if he's back at base thinking, everyone's playing great, but let's just tell them that they're not. Fabio Capello apparently used to give a very stern telling off to his Juventus teams when they won 3-0. And when he would say nothing is after they lost. Alex Ferguson would do exactly the same thing. He'd pick up on minutiae, but it would be very, very conciliatory when they lost 5-0 or something.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting way forward.
I'm almost coming at it from a different point of view where I'm looking and going, who's playing so well that they're going to get themselves on the plane? Okay. And then how do they match up?
Yeah, okay.
Well, let's have a look at lads who aren't playing particularly well. Oh, no, let's take him at his word and just say that there are lads that aren't playing well and, let's try and...
George Ford.
Oust them.
George Ford's a very good example. Yeah. They lost today 29-17.
That's unacceptable, isn't it? I mean, I know Sale are brilliant at home. I know this, but this is Bath.
You say this is Bath. No Premiership team has gone to the AJ Bell Stadium and won.
Yeah, yes. But at least be competitive. I mean, it doesn't even
they were until the last 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, it was 10 minutes to go and Sale scored two tries. So they were competitive, but...
So George Ford out, who comes in?
Good question, because Sip has had a very poor run of form during the Six Nations, but he's actually playing quite well at the moment.
He is playing nicely.
And Freddie Burns is playing very nicely.
Yeah.
Freddie Burns is the guy that I think I'd promote up.
I'd be tempted to go as well, but you do think that it almost feels like it's Sipper's turn.
It does feel like it's Sipper's turn. Or how about this? How about George Ford is disposable purely because they can move Owen Farrell in one, because of course your man Ben Tail will be getting on the plane.
I was going to say, Ben Tail and Henry Slade.
Slade
is a 10 option.
Tuilagi.
Yeah, we've not seen him play 10 yet.
Tuilagi is now a centre option.
A centre which allows Owen Farrell to move across.
So you could go Farrell, Slade, you can step in. Your options are 10.
There's a lot of chat about Ben Tail. Why is there no chat about Harry Mallander? I think this kid is wonderful. Yeah, every time he touches the ball, things happen.
It's interesting because you were reluctantly getting behind Maro Itoje for so long and you're jumping straight on Harry Mallander.
Well, the reluctancy from the Itoje thing was all the press were making him out to be exactly as good as he was.
So you just wanted to be contrary?
No, well, because I hadn't seen this. I've only seen him play well when he finally got promotion to England. I thought, okay, this guy is an example.
You hadn't been watching rugby then this season.
This season, he was awesome for Saracens.
Harry Mallander is completely different because I've watched Harry Mallander.
I do think Mallander is too... It's too early for him. Incredible talent. He's still only 19.
Yeah.
He can play a multitude of positions across the back line.
Tell you what, he's going to be some player.
But it's too early.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mike Brown. That's my next one.
Well, he was outplayed, wasn't he, by Goode?
He was.
Well, I mean,
In a team that was outplayed by Saracens.
That is definitely a relevant context.
But I would also be tempted to have Goode starting ahead of Mike Brown based on current form, and also based on the fact that I would have Tuilagi come into inside centre.
Yes, same.
So you've not got two playmakers, so I'd like to have that option of a second playmaker. Therefore, Goode might make the starting 15.
Well, there's a saying in the investment world, which is being early or being late is the same as being wrong. So I will accept that I was wrong on Goode v Brown for the World Cup. I wanted Goode to start.
Yeah.
However, since then, I think
you were wrong on Maro Itoje.
Alex Goode is the best rugby player in all of England. I have no doubt about this.
Best English rugby player in all of England.
The best. Maybe the most skillful player in all the Premiership.
He's not as good as Pietau. as a fullback. I would rather have Pierre Towers starting.
Yeah, Pierre Towers might be able to. I mean, and both Pierre Towers combined.
On form, he's England's best option.
This weekend, he was magnificent.
He was.
I mean,
did you
see that pickup in 5 yards of space?
Yeah.
To get around Chisholm. And I thought, every time he touches the ball, something incredible happens. His kicking's good. His running. He's not even that fast. He's not even that fast or that steppy, but he just managed to get through his distribution, the little skip pass. I absolutely love him. And I think it'd be a real statement of intent to go with Goud.
Anyone else?
Hask.
I think Hask is under threat.
I think Hask is definitely
under
threat.
Who from? Because I know someone who has been mentioned by Eddie Jones.
It's hard to say who the replacement would be, but I just think all the pressure and not starting ahead of Thomas Young.
I would seriously consider, he's not English, but he's English qualified,
mm-hmm.
Tamina Harrison of Northampton.
He's been outstanding.
Oh. He's a very good. He's played eight a bit because of injuries for Northampton.
He's been playing out of his skin for them, yeah.
Yeah, as an open side, he's a genuine threat with the ball. He can steal the ball. He can play that fetch role. He's got decent hands. His work rate is incredible.
Let's take, you know, we're having Nathan Hughes from Fiji. Let's take Tamar Harrison from New Zealand. Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, I mean, you've also got...
he has got an English parent, actually, for the record.
Yes,
but
he has.
And you've also got McCaffrey at Leicester. You've got O'Connor at Leicester. I think those...
I don't think they're playing so well you'd go there on the play.
Their form is...
Not like Tamar Harrison's form is just outstanding.
Yeah. And the other one, you mentioned him earlier... as a possible weakness, Dan Cole.
Yeah, completely agree.
For Kieran Brooks.
He is like the Patrick Cliver of rugby players.
For Kieran Brooks, I would agree with you completely, Phil.
Kieran Brooks isn't the answer.
But JB, you're still maintaining Kieran Brooks is not the answer.
Kieran Brooks is not the answer.
So who is
the answer?
I don't think there is one.
Because Kieran Brooks was winning penalties against Marcus Ayerza at the weekend.
Exactly.
Albeit Marcus Ayerza scrummaging with Thacker inside him, which does... Like it or not, it does reduce the weight of their front row by 20 kilograms.
I don't like the phrase inside him.
Yeah.
To his left. To his right.
To his right. To his right, yeah.
That would put anyone off their game.
I don't think Kieran Brooks is the answer, but you'd never know unless you start him and give him a shot. So
who else would you have? Henry Thomas? Davey Wilson?
No.
Who's the one that was?
Paul Hill? No.
Cooper Woolley?
No.
I'll tell you who did scrimmage well in the Saracens-Quins game. The starting tight end for Quins, Will Collier.
Yes, he did, actually. In fact, yes, they really did.
He hammered
Saracens.
Yeah, he's played really... It's the only time this season that I've seen him play well,
but
he did play well.
Yeah,
okay. But I think it's a bit
Quins
premature.
Quins is rubbish.
Yeah, but it looks incredible.
Any other contenders? Because I agree. I think... I'm hoping Kieran Brooks will be the number one primary option, but I like...
There's two on the wings, perhaps.
Yes.
Christian Wade,
who scored eight tries between them this weekend.
So Christian Wade's obviously one. And Ashton.
Ashton?
Yeah, I love Ashton, love Christian Wade. Bring him back immediately.
Now, it's interesting, I did a poll on Twitter for who should... If you had to pick one of those two for England, who would you pick? And it was 70% Christian Wade, 30% Chris Ashton. But there was a surprising number of responses saying Christian Wade has to go to Rio.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, the last one as well would be...
Oh, just before that, on the Christian Wade subject, Tom Gorman said after Christian Wade's six tries for Wasps, he said, so lucky Christian Wade doesn't play for Exeter. Hashtag cocktap. That would have been a tough day at the office.
Thank you, Mr.
Oh,
Gorman.
My God.
I think the Exeter cocktap is there to instill the team ethos at Exeter to spread the tries around.
Yeah, no white line fever.
Exactly. No.
Thomas Waldrum really, really enjoys scoring those 1 yard tries at the back of Mulls and not passing the ball to anyone else, doesn't he?
And the last one might be Anthony Watson. I don't think he's playing particularly well because he plays for Bath. And that's it.
Yeah, but I think his place is relatively safe.
Are guys like Thacker knocking on the door of maybe the third hooker? Probably
maybe
not.
For the Saxons.
Because Dylan Hartley's not played.
Yeah, concussion.
But he's not going to get dropped. Oh! That reminds me. Gentlemen.
Go on.
Perfect segue for this.
Ooh. What have you got there?
I have an addition to the rugby dungeon.
Yes, please.
An England jersey.
Okay.
Ooh.
Standard England jersey.
Says, Tim, JB and Phil, best wishes. And that is the signature of Dylan Hartley.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, yes, because you got to meet him.
We can hang this jersey signed by the current England captain next
what
to
we do with that
next
one?
To our England
Shall
jersey.
We just burn that one?
Signed by the last England captain. No, maybe we can keep it going. See how many
consecutive England captains.
See if we can get every consecutive England captain to sign an England shirt.
I'm sure we could give that one away as a prize.
Do you remember the day you wore that England rugby jersey?
I might try it on again. Actually,
it was a snug fit back then. You're looking in good shape at the moment, Jay.
Thanks. So. Well, we've got a Canterbury contest coming up. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
They won't tell me what exercises that they're doing, so I can't practice them.
Oh yeah, we're going to get trained by Jeff Parling and Dylan Hartley and
Jeff Parling, Dylan Hartley, Robbie Henshaw, and Kevin Sinfield.
Kevin Sinfield, yes.
I can definitely outlift Parling. Definitely.
Yeah, Parling's one I want to. I don't think I can outlift Henshaw or Sinfield, but I can think I can beat Parling.
Do you think
definitely can, pound for pound?
Dills will be strong, won't he? He's going to be like a bull. I can just tell.
Yeah.
Well, that's his shirt signed by him. So anyway,
awesome.
Right, boys.
No, before we go on to next week's games, before we go on to anything else, you mentioned Dan Cole hasn't been playing well. Okay. However, you look at the trailer for the new Rugby Challenge 3 game, which is coming out this week, and looks pretty poor, I have to say.
So you've not got a free copy that you can have plugged in?
No, I would be honest anyway. But
honest, Tim.
Dan Cole is in the trailer doing an up and under. They've picked, of all the gameplay clips they've picked, they've got a clip of Dan Cole running and doing and that, kicking
that
up.
That should
under.
Not be an option for the Dan Cole character. Yeah. Whenever he gets a ball, he has one option.
Yeah.
Make 3 yards fall over or give away a penalty. Well, so, yeah, two options.
So it's typically four buttons, right?
3 yards fall over, give away a penalty.
Here's how they should do it, right? It's typically four buttons to do things, right? Pass, kick, skill, whatever, right? So if you get a Dan Cole, only one button works. Everything else results in a knock-on. And it's up to you to work out, is that player skillful enough?
But it changes every time which button.
Yeah,
random button.
Brilliant.
So it's a one in four chance that he's going to knock on or give a penalty
away. This is the reason I think that the USA need to become a rugby force, because that only then will we get a good rugby union video game. Because we're still left with Jonah Lomu Rugby back on the old original PlayStation or Sega Saturn. That was the only good rugby game there's ever been, and I thought at this point we should just spend about 30 seconds listening to some of Bill McLaren and Bill Beaumont's amazing commentary.
Don't build them like that anymore. He won't like that. He's one of a kind. With the tackle, straight home, and getting it.
It's the personality he brings, isn't he?
Mm. I wouldn't like to be at the bottom of that. What a silly play.
Wait for it.
Can he get to him? I can't see the ball in there.
I know what you're waiting for.
Wait for it.
I know what you're waiting
for. It's important to get quick possession here. They need to get more men behind the ball.
Wait, here we go.
Digs like a demented mole there.
There's the other one, isn't there?
Pack of Sherman tanks.
Oh, pack of Sherman tanks. Yeah.
The demented mole. And the maternity ward.
Oh, yes.
He'll wake up in ward 6. I hope not, Bill.
That's a maternity ward.
That's banter.
Very good. Just on that, Pro Rugby USA starts tonight, is it?
Does it? How do I watch Pro Rugby USA?
There's some link to AOL or something.
You can stream online, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some guys in the Premiership that are going over.
Yeah, Dominic Waldock's going over.
Yeah.
Mills Mulliainen.
Yeah, well said.
Thanks, Tim.
Rather you than me.
Mirko Bergamasco. That's about it.
Well, he's got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, I wish them all the best. I hope they do get good, because we need...
Oh, Nguenya's going over there as well.
That makes a lot of sense.
We need another cutting-edge rugby game.
Oh, Tim, stop it.
Cutting-edge is what we need. We need a cutting-edge.
Why don't we... What we should do is every week we should do Sharpest Try of the Week, sponsored by Cornerstone.
That's a good
idea.
Really good.
Thanks,
we'll
guys.
We'll give it to number 3 of... Christian Wade this week.
Yeah, number 3. The sharpest rugby kick through.
Yeah, because a couple of his tries were just like, well, we could have scored it.
Yeah.
But, well, most of them, actually, no, that's not the case.
He could have scored it.
The intercept from 70 yards, I reckon I could have scored that.
The grubber and collect, that was our sharpest try of the week. Brought to you by Cornerstone. Award-winning mail order razors that beat... Wilkinson Sword and Gillette at the GQ Awards for Best Razor, and justifiably so, because it is fantastic good German precision engineering. Just like if you were going to buy a new car, you'd go for a German car, you go for a German blade. They do it well. And
not
will...
me, Tim. I vote UKIP. I'll be driving a Jag. No, that is a joke. I don't vote UKIP, for the record.
And you don't drive a Jag.
Yeah. No, I don't.
It's a really good blade. You get, with your first order, you get a free engraved with your initials shaft, precision shaft. The feeling of having that shaft in your hand for the first time, it's like an extension of your hand.
It's finely balanced.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you can get that with your first order. And the beautiful thing is, I think Cornerstone actually allow you to get that with an order of just £4. However, you get a £10 discount with us. So effectively, you can try Cornerstone for pretty much or actually nothing. See if you like it. Tons of people do like it. We think you will. We wouldn't recommend it to you otherwise.
And the reason we carry on with this sponsor is because everyone does it all the time. Yeah. It's amazing, and everyone loves it.
If you've listened to the podcast for a while, we've had partners come and we've had partners go. Cornerstone, we believe in, and that's why
the cornerstone of this podcast.
And here's a testimony. JB, feel my peach.
Ooh, that's nice.
JB, rub my kiwis.
There you go. That's so soft now.
So smooth.
So forward slash egg chasers or egg10 at checkout.
Cornerstone.co.uk/egg chasers. What was that, Philip?
Cornerstone.co.uk/egg chasers.
Well done, Philip.
Nice one. Oh, we've got European semi-finals this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Bring it. Right. It's just relentless, isn't it? Kenya won their first World 7 series as well.
Amazing.
Hammered Fiji in the fight. 30 points to 7.
How about Fiji?
Fiji were just like, they're still recovering from Hong Kong.
They
won Hong Kong, so shenanigans after that.
I don't really follow the Seventh Circuit, to be fair, but maybe I should.
Yes.
So just before we do mention it, did either of you see the Cheetahs Sun Wolves game?
Oh no!
Oh yeah, this week's basketball results were Cheetahs 92, Sun Wolves 17.
It sounds nice and competitive.
A load of the Japanese players have gone elsewhere in the world. Like one's gone to Newcastle. Yep. Gurumaro's gone to the Reds. There's a couple of Chiefs.
Michael
Leach and the scrum half.
I hope it doesn't fold. I mean, it does feel like this is very foldy.
A load of them, they didn't have enough funding to go to the Sunwolves, so they play for the Panasonic and the whatever.
Well, that was it. Yeah, exactly. That's what.
Yeah. So it's not great.
I hope
they don't fold. I hope they strengthen for next season.
Yeah. And I hope they keep that creepy mascot
crack fox
that they have, the crack fox.
Yeah.
A friend of ours did send a picture, because it's the start of Game of Thrones this week. Instead of the Sun Wolves, the Dire Wolves.
But I also have the caption, is there any room in the Pro 12?
When does Game of Thrones start? Next Monday?
This Monday.
I thought it was next Monday.
Oh, next Monday then.
25th.
Yeah. So, yeah, the poor old Dire Wolves. Oh, well, I mentioned before, Jags. The wheels.
No, sorry, don't call them Jags. It's become like, no, you know,
Jaguars.
Yeah, Jaguars.
What is that?
It's like people say Dan Carter's Racing 92 now. You have to say, you can't say Jaguars, it has to be Jaguares.
Yeah, well, they're the Jags, so let's stop this nonsense.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Oh, we got it here. Steve Visser tweeted us to say people aren't even trying to avoid calling them Dan Carter's Racing 92. This is a BT Sport advert for their game at the weekend.
As they face Dan Carter and his Racing 92.
Of course.
Yes.
And his club, which he owns. He probably does have equity in it. I mean, how else would he get him there? As with the Jags, the wheels are well and truly off.
Yeah. They need some easy fixtures at home.
Yeah.
They need to play the Kings. They need to play those boys.
I was thinking, after the first game, they're going to win the whole thing. How could anyone compete with this scrummaging power and this flair and these playboys?
And after the World Cup, we were saying, oh, 4 years' time, when they've had 4 years playing together in the Super Rugby, this could be a World Cup winners.
Yeah.
Be like a club team playing international rugby. It's that's what they need to do. They need to actually go, what's the point of
they're
this?
A clubbing
it's to try
team
and build
playing international rugby team.
It's trying to build Argentina's international team. So let's play like Argentina's international team play.
Exactly.
And build for 4 years.
So how many teams are in the Super Rugby now?
18.
Right. The scrummage of the Jaguars is 16th. However they measure it, it's 16th.
16th best.
16th best.
In terms of percent one, probably.
Who knows what it is, but it's not
of
good enough.
Ball. Yeah, that is definitely not good enough for an Argentinian team.
Yeah, they need to...
Stop being playboys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. Right. After much deliberating, let's get on to the fixtures this week.
Go for it.
Yes.
Friday night, European Rugby Challenge Cup semi-final. Harlequins host FC Grenoble.
Harlequins for me.
Harlequins. Conor O'Shea was saying quite openly that we have to win that tournament.
Conor O'Shea's not going to want to leave on with nothing. I don't think he's going to get in the top four.
I don't think they're going to get in the top six. So
yeah. So this is it. This is his parting shot.
Yes.
Harlequins, for me, I think they'll put everything into it and I think they'll win.
Then, I agree. On Saturday, in the Aviva Premiership, Bath host Sale Sharks, the repeat fixture, because this was rearranged from the
shootings, is it?
Yes, it was right, the Paris rearranged game.
If Sale were to get a 5-point win as they did at home, which I don't expect them to get, maybe they get four points, but if they did, they will be on 57 points, just two behind Leicester.
Wow.
With two games to play.
I really hope they do it, you know.
For top four.
Come on, Sale.
It's improbable, but...
But Leicester, their remaining two games will be directly after a European Cup semi-final against Dan Carter's Racing 92.
Yeah.
I think Sale will do this. I mean...
I think Bath have got nothing to play for.
Psychologically as well,
Sale are poor away from home.
But they've got the upper hand. They know they can beat these guys.
Yeah.
And there's one thing being poor away from home at the start of season. There's nothing thing being poor away from home when you're in touching distance of the top four out of nowhere.
Yes.
So,
maybe Hoops will have been moved upstairs at Bath and will be a little puppeteer behind the scenes, just cajoling the morale of the squad and pulling the strings, and maybe he'll make a difference.
That'll make it.
With Hoops' retirement announced this week, it does make my outlandish theory that he could be Bath's next DOR.
Okay. Next game.
I think Sale will edge it.
Me too. European Rugby Challenge Cup semi-final, the other one, is Montpellier hosting Dragons. Montpellier, who are top four in the top 14, and Dragons, who are bottom three in the Pro 12.
Lovely story.
Dragons had their cup final. They had their cup final. They had their great win at Gloucester, but that's as far as it will go.
They're done.
Montpellier, and by quite a lot.
Yeah.
Montpellier's pack is humongous. Mostly South African. but they're very good. We've also on Saturday in the Super Rugby, we've got the game we want. Sunwolves host Los Jaguars.
Jaguares. Dire Wolves against Jaguares.
Come on, Jags, you've got to do something.
Who would win between a Dire Wolf and a Jaguar?
Jaguar, I'd say.
I know, Dire Wolves have done some serious damage in Game of Thrones.
Dire Wolves are big, but I just think that they're these powerful cats and they can hide in trees and stuff like that.
Okay. Sunwolves Los Jaguares. I'm going to go for the Jaguars. For the Jags.
You Jags, please.
I'll go for.
Don't let me go through all
Los Jags.
Surely.
No. Not all of it.
Now the biggies.
Then the biggies. So on Saturday, 3 p.m., Saracens host Wasps.
I simply don't know.
Wasps,
with Christian Wade fresh off scoring six tries.
Oh my word!
Well, these guys aren't going to see each other again, are they? Till the Premiership final.
Yes, probably. Probably.
So that's probably one-off game. You just don't know, do you?
Saracens at home.
Where are the key matchups in this?
Good question, Tim.
Front row, I think Saracens have got it.
Yeah.
Second row, I think Saracens have got it.
I don't think they have it in the front row. I think that Wasps scrimmaging unit are very, very strong.
Nathan v Billy, how explosive and huge is that battle?
I mean, I think the packs are evenly matched. I think where you've got your real competition is the Saracens defence against the Wasps attack. That's a real one. If Saracens
in MMA terms, that's like a grappler against
it's like a smothering wrestler against some sort of Edson Barboza striker. I mean, it's just it's savage. I mean the problem with this is, of course, that Saracens could really hammer them if they do what Saracens do and manage to stop that attack at source. And no doubt they've crunched the data and they'll know exactly what they need to do. That's why it's so exciting. But can they do it? Even if they know what to do, can they do it?
Because that back line with the Piatau brothers, with Wade and Halai, and with Elliot Daly, and with Robson or Simpson. Robson, by the way, who had an incredible game against Worcester.
Maybe he's one of the scrum halves that could be knocking on the door.
Yeah, absolutely.
For England,
Saracens will issue some sheets to their players, and it'll read like just tackle Christian Wade. Not that easy.
No, but again, you're sort of the way you describe the Borg hive mind of Saracens, well, the Borg, as we've always referred to Saracens, and we actually mean that in a really good way. They're just so
organized,
efficient and organized and ruthless. But the way you described it is, you know, they adjust and then they execute. However, the X factor that Wasps have, it's so hard to adjust, or you'll adjust one way and they'll do something different.
It, not even too long could handle them at home. Where's it been played?
It's
at the Medeski.
The Medeski, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's a neutral ground.
I'm going to go Saracens for no other reason than league tables don't really lie. They're only one place above Wasps. I just think they're more organised, whereas Wasps rely on too many individual talents. I think maybe the team collective can somehow subdue. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think they will.
Do you know what? The home advantage is negated because it's not, because they're both English. The home advantage is maybe, if anything, edged towards Wasps because it is a football stadium grass pitch.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to go Saris.
I'm going to go Wasps.
Ooh, who knows?
And then flip
a coin. It's one of
those. Yeah. Sunday, 3:15 it's the City Ground
in Nottingham.
Nottingham.
She's definitely got big home advantage.
Yes,
massive,
definitely.
Well, there's massive been some very famous doorstep wins in the City Ground at Nottingham for Leicester Tigers. I mean, I remember Flathy Scarlett's having their heart broken there.
Was that the drop goal?
No, that was Cardiff.
It was Martin Williams and Jordan Crane.
Yeah.
Like, Leicester had the ball, and they knocked it on. And Scarlett's are basically, they're not Scarlett's, they're Flathy then, are celebrating like, you know, they've won the entire cup. And then somehow they get a penalty, long-range penalty. Tim Stimson steps up.
Oh, yes!
Nails it, hits a crossbar, hits two bars, and then just trickles over. And that's it, done. Martin Johnson does his magic again.
Yeah. I'm going for Dean Carter's Racing 92.
I'm going for Racing 2.
Now, I think I will also go for Racing, because I think they might get the edge in the scrum. And again, this is, I don't think Dan Cole and Thacker are scrummaging particularly well. Thacker's playing great in the loose, but not scrummaging especially well. I think Racing will get their kind of territory from the penalties, from the scrum, and will win by that.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell because I watched Racing this weekend and their scrum got dominated by Toulouse. But you don't really know because it's a completely different game. Toulouse are huge.
Toulouse are huge, and Racing will have rested a few players.
Yeah,
definitely.
Definitely. Mike Phillips started.
There you go, then.
There you go.
Oh, my word.
We're all done.
I'm so excited about this. And Dan Carter's all fit and healthy and well and performing, is he?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Good.
More importantly, Mike Phillips is fit and well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dan Carter can do nothing without good quality ball.
Well, Dan Carter was struggling in the last game, wasn't he? Because Machinot took over the kicking duties.
He did, you're right.
He had a bit of a knee niggle.
Mind you, when you pay him that much money, if I was paying him that much money, I'd make him play.
But if he's not playing very well,
no,
you don't want him.
No. I've paid my money. You will play,
and then you blame him when they lose.
In fact, you know what? If he wasn't playing, I'd make the food, drive the bus, clean the kits.
Yeah,
I'd get my money's worth.
Racing have rested a lot of players. Looking at this team,
Vully played.
Right,
sort of played for Clare last year. I thought it was absolutely useless.
Castro Giovanni played. Virgil Lacombe played hooker instead of either Kamil Schat or Zarzewski. So third choice hooker.
I'm just really happy. They had their three in a row, and that was great and historic, but I'm really happy it's just not a possibility of being Toulon. Someone new on the trophy.
I think it's agreed. Going to be Saracens. I hope it's Saracens.
I think that would be a wonderful end to Jacques Berger's career.
Hear, hear.
I want to change. I'm going to say Saris to win because I want to be able to support Jacques.
Do it for Jacques. And Charlie Hodgson is retiring, so that the casualty list of your top players this season.
JB's favourite players of all time: Andy Goode, gone, lost. Stuart Hooper, gone, lost.
Miles Benjamin,
lost.
That was the biggest.
Yeah.
Berger and Hodgson both gone at the end of the season.
I've got a few in the JB Academy system coming through.
Who's the next? The Hammer at Newcastle.
Alex Goode.
Anyone else to watch?
Avion Lewis Roberts.
Oh, Malinder.
Avion
Lewis Roberts.
There's a few
coming through the Academy system.
Hey, next World Cup. Hear me now, believe me later.
You've been saying that for the last two World Cups.
Right, get in touch with us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, where you can see me gradually morph into JB on Twitter through the weeks, and where you can catch us all. Give us your thoughts on those forwards as backs, or if you want to jump ahead a week or two, you can start doing some backs that would make good forwards as well. Mm-hmm. iTunes, leave us a review and subscribe. We're on Acast as well, and give Cornerstone a try. I think is the takeaway.
Hmm. Cheers, Tim.
Nice one, JB.
Goodbye, Phil.
Bye, JB.
In a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.